Okay, good afternoon, everyone. My name is Zuowei Wang. I come from the University of Michigan. I'm still a PhD student, so there's no title here. So today I'm going to talk about a project I have been doing for 3 years. So this is also my master's thesis. So in the last 3 years, I tried to apply Lina in the classroom. Specifically, so we try to use Lina to extract meaningful feedback for the teachers in an effort to help them with their teaching. I hope this will work. So this is the project background. This is a large project named Making Room for Student Thinking. We call it Mrs. T. This project is funded by IEIs from the US Department of Education, and it's a 3-year project. My advisor, Dr. Kevin Miller, is the principal investigator, and under this project, my job is to make Lina to work. So let me start with talking about the division of labor in the elementary school math classroom. So the question is, who should be practicing math in the math classroom? So who should work hard on the math by talking about math in an elementary math classroom? So obviously, the students should practice. The students, they should learn. But the fact is that, so Pianta et al., they found that here in the United States, in an elementary math school classroom, teachers generally gave generic feedback about the correctness of students' answers instead of asking them to extend, to explain, to express their thinking. So also, Sims et al., they compared US and Chinese elementary school math classrooms, and they found that so here is the United States, here is China. So it's hard to say which is good, which is bad, but what they found is that in the United States, the teacher in the classrooms, they are really working hard. They dominate the talking by preventing the students from speaking at all. So that's what we found. You see here, the percentage in China is about, on average, about 60-70%, but the average in the United States of student math talk is only 20%. So most of the time, the teacher is talking. We think this is a problem because this leaves little room for the student to think. They only listen, so as you guys, I'm speaking here, you are listening, so you're not motivated to think about that. So that's a problem. So how to change this problem? That is the motivation of the Making Room for Student Thinking project. So how can we change this? So first of all, we need to help teachers to be aware of this issue. And next, we need to help teachers to change. How do we do that? We need to use scientific data and timely feedback for that. And luckily, we found Lina. So this is an overview of the system. So it's a customized system for us. This is the world's only one system. So I call it Lina Mrs. T. So we start from here. So the teachers in our project, they record their classes each day. And after that, they connect their device to their computer. And then their computer, so this is the fancy part, customized for us. So their computer will send the data to our server. And then our server will automatically kicks off Lina processing. And then after that, with the Lina process results, I run some scripts doing some post-analysis processing, and then that generates the feedback for the teacher. And then we have research assistants sending the teachers emails daily on a daily basis. So overnight, the teachers can see how she performed during that day before the next day she started another recording. So, and then starts another cycle. So in the talk today, I'll focus on this part. So what I did with the Lina results in order to generate the feedback for the teachers. So of course, before we do anything, we need to do a validation work because we use Lina in the classroom, which is very, very different from the original design. So in a classroom, we ask the teacher to wear the Lina recorder instead of asking the kid to wear it. And there's no key child, and the children in our study, they are older, first to third graders, so 7, 8, 9, 10 years old, much older than the normal youth. And also in the classroom, the environment is much noisier than the home environment. So for the validation, we recorded 107 hours of classroom recording, math classroom recording. And then we have our research assistants listen to the recordings and manually correct everything, every mistake made by Lina due to our annual use of Lina. And then after that, I developed some statistical models to predict these corrections so that these corrections can be made automatic. So in terms of predicting the corrections, here I listed two very common corrections. The first one is that the teacher, because the teacher is running the recorder, oftentimes the teacher is recognized as the key child. This is reasonable because I guess, according to Lina algorithm, Lina may think that whoever that is speaking the loudest should be the key child because the key child is wearing that. So that's a guess. I don't know why that makes sense. The second common correction is that oftentimes the students are recognized as female adults. This is also reasonable because our kids, they are older, and also they are sitting far from the teacher, making it hard for Lina to make the judgment. So, and then in order to make these corrections, to predict these corrections, I consider two parameters which are available from Lina's output. The first one is the sound level, the second one is the segment duration. The sound level may help us to distinct whether the teacher or the child to correct the first mistake. So we think that because the teacher is wearing the recorder, so whoever speaks the loudest should be the teacher instead of the child. So that's why I consider sound level. Another thing I consider is the segment duration. The logic is that because teachers, their sentences are usually much more complex than the students, so we can expect that their sentences are longer, so the segments from the teacher are longer. So by considering only these two parameters, here's the result. So we see that we correctly identify the teacher with a very low false alarm rate. And also, again, we also correctly identify the student with a pretty low false alarm rate. So it seems that the model, the statistical model works. It should be noted that the hit rate and false alarm rate do not add up to 100 because there are other categories, for example, overlap. I will talk about that later. So what's next? Now that we have relatively accurate measures of the classroom activity, not classroom activities, classroom speakers, so what can we do to provide teachers so that they can know how they are performing in their class? So one possibility is that we provide teachers with the amount of teacher talk, so how much they talked in their class. We can also provide them with the amount of student talk, how much their students talked in their class. But what about more meaningful feedback? So we think about this question, and then we started to explore whether it's possible to use Lina to get the amount of different classroom activities based on the Lina results. So in terms of classroom activities, we listed here, by listening to the 107 hours of recording, we decided there are four very common classroom activities, teacher teaching, discussion, group work, and individual seat work. And in the presentation, I focused on this because the discussion is what matters for student involvement. The more discussion, the higher student involvement is. So I'll focus on this. So here comes the question. Imagine now you are sitting in a Chinese elementary school math class. So without any knowledge of the Chinese language, can you figure out what's going on in the classroom? If you think your answer is yes, you can raise your hand. Yeah, if you think your answer is no, you raise your hand. Okay, so most of you think that it's possible, right? So, of course, but how? How can you figure that out? So the answer is quite easy because you can know the conversation patterns. As long as you know which speaker is speaking when, you can figure that out. You can figure out the different classroom activities, right? So the task is very simple. So we just need to ask the computer to learn to detect different classroom activities without knowing the content, which is Lina does. The procedure can be described with two steps. The first step is that we have our research assistants. They manually classify the different classroom activities, listen to the classroom recordings, and then manually classify the activities. And then by using the validated classroom Lina data, so which we just talked about earlier, we need to predict these manual classifications. So that's the only two steps, very easy to understand. So here is the result. We have two coders. One coder, I call her T. The other coder, I call her E. T represents the teacher, E represents the examiner. So the teacher's task is to teach the computer to classify, and the examiner's task is to examine whether the computer learned that. So the teacher, the teacher and the examiner, the inter-rater reliability is 0.72, which is good. According to Cohen's paper, anything between 0.6 to 0.8 is good consistency. Anything above then 0.8 is perfect consistency. So we have the good consistency here between the two human coders. And about the, how about the computer and the examiner? We see that the Cohen's kappa is still pretty high, and accuracy level is comparable to that. It's even a little bit higher, although not statistically significant. So, So that means we now we have higher, we have better ability in predicting the classroom activities using the linear results. So we're in good shape. Next, we are going to apply this to the generation of teacher feedback. So here is a picture showing what the teachers see every day. So the y-axis represents the percent of high-quality discussion, and the x-axis is the training days, so a total of 24 training days. So the so this is the graph the teacher sees every day. So the, about the training result, so this is the same picture. We see, first let's focus on the blue line. We see that over the 24 days of training, the teacher significantly increased her discussion, the amount of discussion in her class. What's more interesting is here, this green line. The green line shows, so before the teachers see the daily feedback, they have to provide us with an estimation of how much they think they had discussion in their class. So a tough job, right? So we see that in the first week of training, the teacher is crazy. So the teacher is thinking that she is having 70% of her class holding a discussion, which is not the truth at all. That's impossible. But most of the teachers, they think in this way. Probably because I'm talking here, but I'm thinking, oh, I'm having a good discussion with my audience. Actually, none of you are saying anything. So that's what happened in the classroom. The teacher is enjoying herself, but the students, they are not. However, after 2 weeks, the teacher is quite accurate in estimating how much discussion she had in the class. So this is a training effect. So we have two training effects. One is that we increase the amount of discussion in their class, so thus we improved their student involvement. And second of all, the teacher is more aware of this issue. And this training effect also happens on the group level. So as a group, in this group we have 8 teachers. On average, all of them improved. 6 of them improved, 2 of them did not. We know this is normal in the training study. But on average, they improved as a group. Okay, beyond linear misses T. So we think that the automatic detection of different speech activities can be broader than the classroom. For example, we may be able to detect bedtime storytelling activity. We may be able to detect desired, undesired language environment. We may be able to detect desired peer interaction. All of these can be done, potentially can be done automatically with the method I used. So I call this linear detection, which is a potential future product. And about the linear projection, I listed several steps how to do this. So the first step is that self-inflection. You answer this question. So can foreign language speakers identify the activity without knowing anything about the language content? If the answer is yes, then we just need to create supervising data. This is academic jargon, so it's very easy. So we just manual code activities. And then the third step, machine learning, hard to understand, but this is easy to answer. We just need to develop statistical models so that computers can learn this detection automatically. By the way, an advertisement, during my roundtable discussion tomorrow, I will talk more about this. If you are interested, please join in my roundtable discussion. Okay, going back to linear in the classroom, some potential future directions. First, I need to solve the problem of a noisy classroom. We think this is not that hard to solve because we can just increase the threshold for the detection. That will solve the problem. I'm running out of time. Second, students will sit far from the recorder. So we need to develop some support for multi-microphone recording so that the students who sit far away can be heard. And adding some basic content detection would be very helpful for the classroom. And then next comes the acknowledgement. This grant provides us with the Manilina Foundation providing the world's first system. Mrs. T project members, they had a hard time collecting all the data and collecting all the Lina results. And the teachers and students, they are very cooperative. And you all, thank you.